Do you believe in ghosts?
Good morning, evening, or afternoon, wherever you are, whenever you are. This is Tyler here with Ghost Stories, the podcast. First and foremost, I'll apologize if there's a bit of noise in the background. As many of you have heard from me before, there's never a dull moment in this household, and my son is currently awake and watching cartoons, even though it's pretty late at night. It's a losing battle. I'll pick the ones I fight, but right now I just want to get on, record some audio. So I do apologize if you hear that in the background. But let's crack on. And you may have noticed this is a longer episode than usual this week. It's a bit of a special. I've got some really cool news for you. I want to take a look back at some of our old episodes, some of my favorite ones. So it's producer choice. Normally when I do these things, it's the most listened to. So I picked a couple of my favorites to talk about their origins, as well as something you'll want to stick around for, piece of audio that started all, the pilot from back in 2015, which is never available to hear, so you'll have not heard it. You'll have heard the story, I've recreated it, but this is the original almost pitch pilot piece I pulled together. As many of you may have heard, may not have heard, Ghost Stories, the podcast, started off as my dissertation from a master's in audio and radio production. And it just had such a good reception, I carried it on. And this is literally the pilot piece, so I'll be playing that at the end. Begrudgingly, it's not great, although it's fun to see how far we've come along in 5-6 years, I suppose. So yeah, before we crack on and get to those things, I do have a few bits of housekeeping. First off, I've got a shout out from Patreon, and it's for Tracy Lawson. I hope I pronounced your name right, Tracy. It's a fairly simple one, but I still butcher names. I'm terrible for that. Tracy is one of our new higher tier Patreons, and I really, really appreciate every Patreon we have and the support you give. So thank you very much. You're pushing us closer to that goal of making this a full-time ordeal. So Tracy, thank you so much for becoming a patron. And speaking of full-time ordeal, announcements and updates, that's probably what you're really here for, isn't it? And it's a big one this week. So I mentioned in our last episode 2 weeks ago that I was working on a few things to start pushing out content on a weekly basis, almost as a pilot, a trial to see how it's received, how it goes, and with a view of maybe later on in the year doing it, but increasing the lengths. So we'll have the usual gap after this episode, 2 weeks. And then from then on, we're going to be coming to you weekly, on a weekly basis. That's so exciting. Finally, I found the time to be able to do it. And I'm sure for some of you probably listen to a lot of podcasts like me and see there's weekly ones that go out, hour-long ones, and they manage it. I must think, why is it so difficult? Because these episodes are often, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes long. It's purely there's a lot of production work that goes into them. A 15-minute episode between scripting, recording, and then the production, and I do a lot of audio, music, editing, and mastering of the audio and stuff like that to really kind of make it as good as I can. A 15-minute episode can sometimes take up to 4 hours from start to finish, from idea on paper to pushing the button live. And so far, I've been doing it. I'm a one-man band, essentially, doing it on evenings and weekends. And with two young children, having moved house this year, and everything going on in the world, on top of having a full-time job, it's been quite difficult to do and commit to more than once a fortnight. And so I'm really excited to be able to start to make that move to do an episode every week. So the episodes are still going to be similar length, but yeah, more regular. If it's well received, and I've still got that target of hitting a certain number of patrons to kind of, I call it a full-time endeavor. What we'll be doing is, if we hit that target, hopefully later this year, we'll either be doing multiple shorter episodes or multiple episodes of the same length, or moving to a format where it's a single episode each week with multiple stories, probably like an hour long, like a typical kind of chat podcast you might see. So it's some really exciting things and some big developments, and probably the biggest change we'll see to the podcast potentially since it was launched. And hopefully it goes well enough and is manageable enough, there'll be a long-term thing. It's definitely going to be running from March until June. That's for sure. and we'll make the decision from there. The context behind it is I'm essentially on paternity leave with my daughter right now. So I'm at the house more often, and me and my wife have found a way for me to kind of get a little time once a week, child free, for me to get this stuff done. So yeah, I'm really excited. What's this mean for you though? You can help me out by sending stories in. I've been getting one or two stories a week. Keep them coming. Obviously not all of them get in. And if you're listening now and you think to yourself, I've not heard back from them, there's just so many for me to read, and this is going to give me more time to read the stories, edit stories, and start putting them out. So keep sending them in. I love hearing from you. There's amazing stuff. And it's easy. You can either go to send us through Patreon, you contact me there. If you go to our website, ghost-stories.co.uk, I never update the website, but we pick up everything from it. For time being, you know, it's live. I might turn off one day, or you can come to Facebook and message me there. So there's a lot of ways you can get in touch with me. Even if you message me through through Twitter as well. Honestly, I don't use it often, but I've got the account there. And again, this is going to enable me to communicate more, do more things there as well. So it's not just about the audio. So yeah, that's my big update. Some really exciting stuff there, and I'm glad to share it with you all. If you did sit through that 6 minutes or so of me yammering on, but let's get down to a story. So the first one I'm going to play you may remember, is called God's Dog. Now I decided to play it for a couple reasons today. First off, I was looking back through our reviews recently, and I was actually blown away, first off, by how many there are. There's literally hundreds on iTunes. I'm pretty terrible at the marketing side of this, I know. Even though I work in marketing in my day job, when it comes to the podcast, I just kind of crack on with it and let it what happens happen. I guess is the best way to put it. And there was a fair few people saying they like hearing the stories my wife reads. So I wanted to play God's Dog to revisit it. First off, it was I think it was the second story that she read and wrote for the podcast. And I believe, I wish I could speak to her right now, but, she's actually asleep with the baby at the moment because, you know, you gotta split those times between things. But I think it was kind of semi based on a fact, in that she did have a puppy for a long time, and he was a really great dog. Unfortunately, passed away, as dogs do, you know, old age. She had him many years, and I remember she did have dreams about him. Now I don't know if the one thing that's a mystery to me is if she thinks the dreams were him visiting her, or if it was just her dreaming about him. And the other thing that's nice about the story, I have had some people say they like how it's quite an uplifting story. It's not necessarily your typical kind of spooky ghost story, which we don't have too many of those, but we try to get the odd one in. And that's the one thing I do like about our podcast is, and I've always liked it personally, and it was kind of cool to see some feedback like this, is we're not just here trying to give jump scares and scare people for the sake of it. We do want to tell people stories in kind of an interesting, dramatized way. Be it if they're real or just fiction. So if you have any similar stories, do send them in, because I do like to create these as well. Admittedly, the scary ones can sometimes be a bit more fun from a point of view of trying to find audio that will kind of spook people out when listening. But yeah, it's a really interesting one. And I'm often asking my wife to record for me again and write a story for me again. So if you do like it, jump onto Facebook and let us know. And if you've not heard this before, this is one of her first readings, so it'll be pretty cool for you. I do believe it's available up there anyway, so you may have heard it. So I think I've talked enough about the origins of this story, so I'll leave you to listen to God's Dog. But make sure to stick around after, because we have two more stories for you, including my personal favorite that I've made, and the pilot that started the podcast off, never before heard on the podcast. Yeah, so don't go anywhere. Thank you.
20 years ago, when I was 7, we got a dog. He was a Cairn Terrier called Muffin. He was the sweetest, loveliest dog you could ever ask for. Although he wasn't really into like cuddles or affection or anything, and if you sat next to him on the sofa, he'd do this really loud huff and jump down so he could go and sit somewhere on his own. But we loved him and he loved us too. We were lucky that despite being a smaller breed, he soldiered on through and he lived to quite an old age. Muffin was a pretty healthy dog really, and nothing that serious ever happened to him. There was this one time that he seemed a bit cold and shaky, and my sister and I, who were alone with him at the time, were convinced that he was terribly unwell. So we wrapped him in a blanket and we played some Frank Sinatra to keep him soothed until we could take him to the vet. The vet said later on that he was fine, but he'd become psychologically convinced that he was dying due to our coddling. So after that, we played it a bit more cool with him, and it seemed to do him a lot of good because he didn't really get on well at all until he was much older. My sister and I moved out into our own houses once we were older, but Muffin was still the family dog and we'd visit him at our mum's house often. When he was a lot older, he developed these tumours in his ear that would bleed every so often. He'd seen a vet about them, but the vet had said they were just lumps due to old age and they weren't really causing him much bother. The only trouble they seemed to cause were that when they started bleeding, they'd be itchy, so he'd always wipe and sort of drag his head across the nice white wall, which would leave this big bloody smear all the way across it, but it's not like we held it against him. We just used to have to follow him around with a cloth sometimes. When I was about 22 or 23, I had this really vivid dream. In my dream, we were at the seaside where my grandma lives, and we were walking Muffin along the beach. He went out into the water and was swimming, which surprised me, as being an older dog, he wasn't really that keen on long walks anymore, and we mostly had to carry him home after a short while, so the extra exercise of swimming around seemed pretty unlikely. Anyway, the sun was setting into these bright oranges and pinks, and the sea became darker, and eventually Muffin became a silhouette against the skyline. I was worried about how far away he was from the shore, and I kept calling for him and pleading with him to swim back to me. The weird bit of this dream that I kind of feel a bit silly talking about is because I'm not really a religious person. But in my dream, God came down from the sky and he said, "I have chosen Muffin to be my dog because he's the nicest dog in all the world." And in my dream, I said, "Okay," because you can't really argue with a God. And he was right, Muffin was the nicest dog in the world. So the next day after I had this dream, I rang my mum to tell her about it. She sounded quite surprised, but she said, "Oh, it's a sweet dream." And then she said that Muffin had been to a new vet that morning because they wanted a second opinion on his lumps. But this vet had said that actually these tumours in his ear were a lot more serious and it was time to think about, you know, letting him go. And she recommended that he be put to sleep as they were likely causing him pain and discomfort. I've had a lot of pets of my own as an adult, and each time it comes to the sort of the end of their life, I have a dream about Muffin the night before they die. And to me, it kind of feels like he's come to collect that animal's soul and move them on to the afterlife. That's the kind of job that I would imagine God's dog would have. In my dream, it's always, you know, just sort of normal things playing out, but then it's like he kind of runs past and it catches my eye. And I look over and he just sort of scampers on by, but just him being there feels like a comfort and it feels reassuring, but it's always like he's got somewhere to be and he's on his way to do something. And they always seem to kind of play out in that way. And it's like it's not the main part of the dream, it's like something that's just crossed into the background of my dream. So like that's almost the real life, but then my dream's still going on around it. But it's nice when I can see him again, because I still miss him.
Now next up we have one of my personal favourite stories. for a few reasons. This is one I've just enjoyed completely overall, from when the idea first came to me to when I got out there and some of the comments I've had. I don't know if it's necessarily one people consider our best story. I don't even think it was necessarily the most popular and had the most listens, but it's one I really like, and it's subtitled. So if I remember correctly, it was the first episode in season 5. I could have that wrong, but I think that's right. And it's really interesting, the origin of it. And I must admit, I feel like I've told this story somewhere, but for the life of me, I can't find out where I did. So listeners, I apologize if you've heard this already, but it's interesting anyway. So subtitled, the basis of the story is someone watching Netflix, and the subtitles they get are not what the subtitles are on, are not matching the audio. And it's quite spooky what's happening. Now, this story, whilst it kind of sits somewhere in between based in fact and pure work of fiction. So I wrote this story. It is completely from me. I came up with the idea when I was watching Netflix. Now, we've pretty much have the subtitles on all the time now when we watch TV shows. The reason for it being, once we had kids, either we had to keep the TV quiet, not to wake them up, or we didn't want to have to turn the TV up all the way, because any of you who have children will know children are noisy. So you can't always hear what's being said. So our son, around the time I wrote this, was starting to get into Mr. Bean, show that is very close to my heart. When I was living in Canada before moving to England, I used to watch Mr. Bean all the time. And funny enough, that is what gave me my first impressions of England. I thought I'd be moving here and it would all be like Mr. Bean. I wasn't quite right, but it's a brilliant show. One of my favorites, probably forever will be. But what was really unusual is during one of the episodes with the subtitles, I was watching it, and it's I can't recall exactly what he was doing, which episode it was, but it kept saying at the bottom, woman screaming, and it just wasn't matching up at all to the what was going on in the episode. Now, the weird thing about Mr. Bean is obviously there's very little speech, so the subtitles were describing the noises and sound going on around him. More so than actually the words that were being said by the characters, because it's almost like a silent movie, you know. And if you've seen the show, you know, I'd be amazed most people have seen the show. So if you haven't, go out and watch it. So it kept describing a woman screaming. It was so creepy. I was hooked watching it. I was like, it was kind of horrible. You know, you have this quite happy-go-lucky show going on, and a subtitle that just didn't match up. It was made for really uncomfortable viewing. Now, I realized afterwards what happened is the subtitles were showing from the episode ahead, where Mr. Bean is at a theme park, and it kept saying like women screaming, child screaming, because you can hear the children on the roller coaster and that. So once you see that, it kind of takes the fear factor of it. But I thought, you know what? It made me feel uncomfortable enough that I was like, I need to write an episode around this. So that is where the basis of it came from. So whilst I don't think it was a paranormal event, it's certainly one that I thought was spooky enough that I should write something about it. And I have had some comments about it where people said, oh, that was a really, really weird and unusual story. And that's something I'm particularly proud of, because whenever I write stories myself, I don't write many of them. You can only guess which ones they are, because they tend to be a little bit longer and a bit more, we could say, adapted for radio than necessarily other things. But when I do write one and people kind of leave comments about it, it makes me feel really good. So obviously, make sure you tell me how much you love subtitled after you listen to this. But yeah, now you know the origin of it. So I'm going to play it now for you. But don't go anywhere afterwards, because we're going to be playing the Never Before Heard pilot for Ghost Stories, the podcast made back in 2015. When this is but an idea on a piece of paper, pretty much. So yeah, make sure to stick around for that. I won't promise you'll enjoy it, but it's something, that's for sure.
When you have a small child, I could tell you there's no better invention in this day and age than a streaming service like Netflix or Amazon Prime to binge on TV without too much effort while being able to focus on a sleeping child. That might seem like an unusual place to start a creepy story, but it's highly relevant. Because of my little one, I would usually stream TV and films with the subtitles on. This is simply because when my child is asleep, it's the only opportunity I had to watch TV, and I didn't want to risk waking them by having the volume on too loud. Well, the use of subtitles in itself is obviously nothing unusual. However, one night I was rewatching an old favorite that I'd seen a million times before. In fact, I probably could have repeated it word for word, I knew it that well. I noticed around halfway through the episode the incorrect subtitles began to accompany the program. Odd, I thought to myself, but I didn't think much more of it, assuming it was no more than a technical error with the streaming service. However, as the stream continued, the subtitles became rather unusual and a bit unsettling, especially compared to the lighthearted program I was watching. I began to pay more and more attention to the subtitles instead of the TV show, reading them in my mind, trying to work out what they could possibly be from. It became really unusual. They were just stuck on child laughing, woman screaming, child laughing, woman screaming, continuing to repeat itself, seemingly stuck in a loop. I tried to work out in my head what show or movie this could be from without any luck, and I found it so unusual and a bit unsettling, so I decided to call it a night, turn off the TV, and go to bed. The following Friday, I settled in with my partner to watch a movie with our child sleeping in his bassinet on the other side of the room. I can't recall the film, but like before, it was one of those that we both knew very well. Film night means lights out, lots of snacks. Also, it wasn't unusual for my other half to drift off to sleep during the film. It didn't bug me too much, though, normally. The room was quiet with my baby and partner both asleep, so I was able to watch the film without paying much attention to the subtitles. That was until about two-thirds through the film when I began to notice child laughing, woman screaming. Child laughing, woman screaming. My mouth went dry. This freaked me out to no end. Although it wasn't a particularly scary subtitle, the unusualness of it being looped over and over got to me. My eyes were fixed on the subtitles on the screen, continuing. Child laughing, woman screaming. Child laughing, woman screaming. I was snapped out of what felt like a stay of hypnosis by a new line on the screen. It read, Layla screamed at what she'd seen, the child laughing whilst the room burned ferociously. My stomach dropped from seeing the words, and I quickly reached over to my partner to wake them. Look at the TV, I shouted as they groggily come to, obviously confused about what I wanted. The normal subtitles were back on screen. Our child awoke and cried, startled by my shouting. I didn't want to watch the rest of the film, so I decided to go to sleep. The next day, I couldn't get this subtitle mishap off my mind. I mentioned it to my partner, and they were convinced it was just a glitch with the service. I would have found this more believable if it only happened the once. A thing I thought would help is to figure out the film that the subtitles are from. My logic being, if I could watch the film they came from to get a little more context, then I wouldn't find it as disturbing as when they just appeared on some comedy I was watching, for example. Of course, with just the original two subtitles, this would have been rather difficult. But now I have some additional information to use. A character named Layla and a scene with a burning room. So I went to Google and performed a few searches. Film with burning room and laughing child. Nothing seemingly relevant came up. Creepy films with main character named Layla. Still nothing of note. I kept trying various searches after that for easily about an hour and I couldn't find anything. As I was about to give up, I decided to try one last thing just to see what came up. Layla, fire, child. I was terrified after spending what felt like a few hours reading various news articles from a few years back, the first of which the headline read something like, Trial Starts for Child Arsonist. Obviously it wasn't the film I was looking for, but the similarities of the case and the few subtitles I had seen were striking. I read on. The youth, who cannot be named, is accused of murder through arson. The victim, Layla, 36, was the defendant's aunt, and she was discovered in the wreckage of the house in the defendant's room. The house is located in field view area of... I stopped. I could feel my heart beating against my chest. This happened in the exact town and area I lived in. But that wasn't the worst part, as I decided to read on. The judge was most concerned at the lack of remorse shown by the young defendant. In fact, there were multiple instances where he had to be silenced after laughing at the recall of events. And in that moment, four words began to ring through my head. Child laughing. Woman screaming. A week or so passed without issue, and one evening, when my child was asleep, I decided to watch some YouTube videos on my phone. My little one had a particularly restless day, so without giving it much thought, I turned on the captioning. And to be honest, this is something I would often do anyways, especially for the entertainment of what the automated machine captioning throws out. It was often amazingly random. I was easily watching for about an hour, and it was well past 11 p.m. In fact, I was sitting there thinking I should probably go to bed. But before I could close the app, my stomach sank as I read the caption on screen. Woman screaming. I froze, staring at those two words. I felt as though it was taunting me, and I began to feel ill as I realized this wasn't Netflix I was watching. How could it be a glitch in both their systems? The subtitle never changed, and I snapped out of it and turned off the app and went to bed. The next day I told my other half what happened. I'm not positive they believed me and thought more I was tired and had the story in my mind again, which was typical. As it was the weekend, that evening we settled down to watch a film and just genuinely relax. We started it and the subtitles were on, and as usual, the glitch was causing it to say, child laughing, woman screaming. My other half turned, looked at me and said, see, it's just a glitch with Netflix, it's on everything, I'll just turn off the subtitles. I wasn't interested in the film and didn't sleep at all well with what happened the night before on YouTube, so I must have drifted off to sleep. I'm not sure how long later, but I was abruptly awoken by my partner, with a look on their face drained like they'd seen a ghost. What's wrong? Is everything okay? I turned off the subtitles, but they came back, so I turned them off again, and again, and again. They wouldn't stay off. Not fully grasping the situation, I said... Weird, is that why you woke me up? Without replying, they pointed at the TV, and I felt winded by the subtitle on the screen. Turn me off again, and you'll burn like Auntie Layla.
Well, now we're up to the final recording for you, and it's an interesting one. I'm sure this is what you've all stuck around for. It is the pilot for Ghost Stories, the podcast where everything started. And whilst you've heard the story before, I'm sure, because there's actually a version of it that I still have live. I did remake it. I think it was one of our first short scares. That version is a lot better than this one. This is... the pilot for the podcast, like I said. So if you don't know the history of Ghost Stories, the podcast, strap in. I'll let you know now. Back in 2014, 2015, there, for a few reasons, I had my hand kind of forced, and finally it gave me the little push to go back to uni. I always wanted to go, do bits in radio and audio production and get my master's in it. And a few life events happened that made me decide to take that leap. Interestingly, for my dissertation, there was a lot of build-up to it in one of the modules is pitching for it and whatnot. And I was listening to a lot of kind of ghost story podcasts. The big one I listened to most back then was Jim Harold's Campfire. I still listen to it now occasionally. I don't listen to podcasts as often as I wish I could, purely time constraints, but I still get on there and listen occasionally. And actually, Jim was kind enough to come onto one of my episodes, which is amazing because he's a pretty big deal. I'm sure many of you have listened to him or heard him before in terms of the podcasting world. And I took a lot of inspiration from him. There's a few other ones I listened to, but I saw this, what I thought was kind of like a gap in the market in terms of there was a lot of ghost stories and people telling their stories, but not a lot of... So, and I'll explain if you've not listened to it, but the show I talked about, Jim Harold's Campfire, he has people call in and they tell stories of things that have happened to them, you know, paranormal encounters, aliens, all those types of things. But I was thinking there's a bit of a gap in the market where there isn't really many kind of dramatized stories, and also ones that you are left to kind of guess if you think it's true or false. So I want to mix that kind of idea of people sending their stories in. And also one of my favorite shows when I was a kid was that Fact or Fiction show. If you didn't guess by now that that's part of the reason this podcast exists, then you were never going to guess it. But where they in that show, they would show three... Now I'm going back a long time trying to remember. I'm not as young as I used to be, but they'd show three short stories and you'd guess which are fact and which are fiction. Sounds similar to what I do, hey? So that was the big thing, especially as we needed for our audio project to have kind of an online digital hook. You know, new age audio and all that. So hence getting people to vote online. So that leads to the what I created. Now, originally, the first episode was put together as almost like a radio drama. And it was terrible. It was really bad. I pretty much scrapped the idea. And I fell upon this idea of people almost retelling the stories themselves and me adding music and stuff to it completely by accident. When I recorded the house with my mum about the house we used to live in. And that kind of style worked so much better than anything I did before. So yeah, this one I'm going to be playing for you is the pilot for it. It's called Alone in the Room. Written while at university, recorded pretty quickly. It was one of those things thrown together really rough and ready. And it's funny listening back. It's quite jarring just hearing how I used to speak back then and everything. It's a lot different now. But hopefully I don't regret putting it up there. Don't hold me to these standards anymore because I'd like to think my content's a lot better than this. If you want to check out the newer version, I can't recall the exact episode number off the top of my head, but if you search for Alone in the Room, you'll be able to see the updated version. Even that's probably not as good as it could be. But yeah, it's a bit of fun, isn't it? Playing an old piece in audio you've never heard before. And admittedly, without this, Ghost Stories the podcast probably won't even be here today. So that's kind of nutty. So what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to play you out on this. I'm going to leave it there after this story. If you've, enjoyed the podcast, well, I'm assuming you enjoy it. If you've listened this far, you're probably a long-time listener. Thank you all so much for your support. I'm really looking forward to, like I say, moving into weekly content. I hope you all look forward to it too. And do let me know. I really thrive on the feedback of what you think and how we can improve and stuff like that, or any ideas you have. So make sure to keep them coming in. If you haven't done so already as well, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Ghost Stories the Podcast. Drop us a like, a share, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And finally, if you want to go the extra mile, jump over to Patreon, and for as little as a buck, you can hear content a little early, and we're going to begin earlier and earlier as I have more time to put stuff out, and I have an idea as well for a series I've not told anyone yet that I want to make a Patreon exclusive. But we're getting there. So that's it for me. Take care for the next couple weeks, and then I'm going to be overloading your listening devices with content all the time. Again, the episode or pilot that started all, this is Alone in the Room. Take care, everyone. Bye now.
The feeling of being alone can range from one man's craving to another man's curse. But what happens when solitude is interrupted by someone or something that cannot be explained? Tonight's cautionary tale is about just that. As always, visit ghost-stories.co.uk and vote for if you think tonight's tale was adapted from fact or a pure work of fiction. You're listening to Ghost Stories. This is Alone in the Room.
We've all heard the noises in the night. When the light goes out, we give the same excuses every time. The house is settling, water in the pipes, or it's just those noisy neighbors. Well, a few weeks ago, I settled down for the night, alone as my other half was away that evening, drifting off to sleep under the dull light of the iPad watching Netflix. What feels like hours later, it could have been minutes for all I know, I'm suddenly startled by what sounds like a slow, distinctive creak of the bedroom door opening. I look, thinking maybe she's come home early. But no one's there. In fact, the door is still shut. After all, there's no way it could possibly open without the intervention of the door handle being turned. I was still alone in the room. I come to the realization that Netflix is quietly running on my iPad. Of course, I fell asleep watching it, and that's what woke me up. I close the tablet, lay my head down, and again, I hear what sounds like the creak of the door. My heart jumps slightly, but I think it's not very manly of me to lay here and worry about a creak of a door. I better go check it out just in case. I approach the door, cautiously, expecting that I could be startled by my partner waiting on the other side, waiting to get me for all those times I've hid and jumped out at her just for my own kicks. I decide to turn the tables and open the door as quick as I can to catch her in the act. Nothing. I'm still alone in the room. I pull myself together, turn off the light, and go back to bed. The creak returns. And again. And again. I try to ignore the seemingly meaningless sound, convincing myself it's just the house settling. But it's settling with perfect rhythm. Every creak making my heart jump just that bit more as my imagination gets the best of me. The creak continues like a steady beat of a drum, in sync with my ever-increasing pulse. I catch my breath, flick on my bedside lamp and look at the door. The sound stops. It's all in my head. Lights out once again. It's now 4 a.m. Head down, time to sleep. Alone in the room, I close my eyes, ignoring the sounds around me.
You're not alone in the room.
So, say the bit. I've not said it. Do you want to say it? Go on.
Does it repeat for me?
Yeah, it's recording you.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Good stuff.